Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, the March Madness is here, guys, so we'll talk all about it, the men and the women, and we'll just chop it up as far as that goes. Also, guys, Unrivaled League is all done now. The playoffs are coming on. We'll talk about that also. And a little bit of WNBA news as well. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we are into March, well, midway into March, but of course there's March Madness. So we'll talk about the men, we'll talk about the women. And then, of course, I want to start off with the Unrivaled League, which I had watched pretty much most of the season. And I got to tell you guys, I thought it was a successful season for them. Their inaugural season, I thought the concept they had was brilliant. Have everything in one venue. This way, players don't have to worry about travel and so forth. You're able to have your people right there in one spot. In the case of De'Erica Hamby, she has a daughter there. So, you know, you're able to have your family and all those sort of things. So, and of course, the sponsorship was just exploding as far as that goes. And then you had other people coming in late to get in on this product. People like Wanda Sykes, and then also Dwayne Wade, he's made an investment in. So it's gaining steam, guys, and it has gained steam. And again, I thought it was a very successful inaugural season that they had. So shout out to the ladies who made it all happen and everybody behind the scenes as well for a exciting product. So with that said, guys, let's talk about the playoffs. When all was said and done, there was only four teams left standing. You had the number one Lunar Owls, of course, 13-1, only had the one blemish on their record, pretty much dominating the Unrivaled League. So you had them as the one seed. The two seed, the one that everybody and their mother wrote off, had them as the last team as far as ranking goes, and that's the Rose Ball Club. So you had them. And then your third place team was the Laces Ball Club. And then squeezing in on that last day of the season was the Vinyl Ball Club. So that was your four teams in the playoffs. Let's start with game one, which was on Sunday night. And that was the Rose versus the Laces. A game that I watched. Well, I watched all these games, so I don't even need to bring that up. But Rose in that game, it was a nip and tuck game, guys. Laces really gave it to them. And going into that untimed fourth quarter, and of course, you know, the one and only Chelsea Gray just took over. And when all is said and done, the Rose gets the win. 63-57. I mean, Chelsea Gray absolutely dominated. She had, oh, by the way, 39 points, a playoff record, and she had four assists. Thus, she accounted for, guys, of the 63 points, she accounted for 62% of the points in this game. That's how dominant she was on the night, guys. And as far as the rest of the team, went 10, 10 for 26 from the field for only 24 points. So Chelsea by herself basically outscored her teammates. Go figure. And she was sensational. I mean, she shot it from the field. Amazing. Had 5 threes in that game. I mean, she was unconscious, guys. And on the losing side, Alyssa Thomas led the way for the Lacers. She had 20 points along with 7 rebounds and 3 assists. Kayla McBride had a horrible game. So you had that. But in the end, the Rose gets the win. And oh, by the way, they ended up not having Angel Reese for these playoff games. She hurt her wrist in the season finale, and it was determined that she's going to need wrist surgery, guys. And it's the same wrist she had the surgery on that ended her WNBA rookie season. So, of course, prayers up for Angel. Get well soon, of course. So, but that's the story as far as that goes. And then the second game, the Vinyl versus the Lunar Owls. Lunar Owls was pretty much dominating from pillar to post, but the problem was it seemed like they couldn't put away the Vinyl. So they go into that third quarter with a nice lead. So it would take a miracle for the Vinyl to come from behind and get that win. And it wasn't to happen, guys. It wasn't to happen. The Vinyl pull off the upset and get the win, 73-70. Guys, I could not believe what I was watching. And I think the one thing that failed Coach DJ Sackman, there was a point where Alyssa Gray got hurt in the game, and she wasn't the same player after that. And then Skylar Diggins-Smith, she didn't show up. So I thought going into that untimed fourth quarter, I thought he did himself a disservice. Courtney Williams was red hot, and he didn't really play her. When it gets to that point, guys, you got to go with the hot hand. Of course, Nafisha Collier is Nafisha Collier, but you needed somebody to support her, and you didn't have that in that untimed fourth quarter. You needed a Courtney Williams in there getting her offense, and that didn't happen, guys. So when all is said and done, oh, in that Rose game, by the way, the game winner is hit, of course, by Chelsea Gray. It was a 3-point shot at that. And in this game, the game winner came from De'Erica Hamby, who had a fantastic game, guys. Fantastic game. In fact, she ends up with 16 points and 15 rebounds. And like I said, the game winner that she had that sealed the win. And then Ryan Howard, 23 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Fantastic game for her. And then Jordan Canna had a very good game, 21 points for her. And on the losing side, Nafisha Collier, you know she comes to play. 36 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. And like I said, Courtney Williams with 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Again, I thought the coach did a disservice in not playing her more. So there's that. So that sets up your final between the Rose and the Vinyl. And that take place on the very next evening on Monday night. Watch that. It was a very close game, guys. Very close. Very close game. I think the turning point to me, because they were just about tied going into that untimed fourth quarter, Chelsea Gray hits this half-court shot, and it goes in. And I think that zapped the momentum for the Vinyl because they was with them nip and tuck throughout the game. And I think in the fourth quarter, they just lost it. And the Rose came out and prevailed. In that game, Brittany Sykes shows up. 21 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. But the big story, Azaree Stevens stepping into the shoes of Angel Reese, 19 points, 18 rebounds. Very Angel Reese-like performance for Azaree Stevens, someone who's not a stranger to championships. She's won one in the W, but she steps up big time, guys. And then Chelsea Gray, who ends up being finals MVP, she has 18 points, 8 assists, along with 3 rebounds for the Rose team. On the losing side, Ryan Howard, of course, leading the way, 22 points, 6 rebounds. And then your combination of De'Erica Hamby and Jordan Canada, who had the fine game in the semifinals. They combined for 18 points, guys, on 6 of 20 shooting. Not good. And they both combined was 0 for 5 from 3-point range. So those are type of numbers that's not going to get it done, guys. So, with that said, the Rose ends up becoming the first unrivaled champion in that league. So, hats off, of course, to Chelsea Gray. A lot of people wrote her off. They said she was washed. They judged her on the prior season in the W where, oh, by the way, she was recovering from an injury, so she wasn't quite 100%, even going into that Olympics, she wasn't 100%. So people basically judged her, wrote her off, wrote the entire Rose team off, in fact. But Chelsea Gray would not be denied. And she literally carried the team to the finals, and then they end up getting the win, guys. Brittany Sykes, I thought she played very well throughout the season. She was long. She was a defender there. There was nice where she final offense, kind of like what happened in the finals where they desperately needed her, and she came through for them. Azaree Stevens, she had injury issues throughout the season but was able to be there in the moments that counted, and that's in the playoffs, so hats off to Azaree Stevens. Angel Reese, of course, what more can you say about her? A walking double-double, the league's defensive player of the year. In fact, I'll talk about all that in a minute. But Angel Reese, her contribution to this club, they wouldn't be in the position they were in without Angel Reese. So that needs to be noted. Lexi Hall, an absolute solid defender, gets up in your shorts, that type of player. I was hoping she'd knock a few her threes a little bit better than what she did, but she definitely helped this club, especially when they were down to like 4 players. She was an absolute help to this team. And then your new additions like Nas Hillman, who they just picked up to fill in for Angel Reese, and she was a godsend in these playoffs, guys. She gave them solid minutes coming off the bench. And then Natisha Heidelman, seemed like she's got passed around the entire league. They end up adding her, and lo and behold, she gets a championship when all is said and done. And then, of course, you have to give – oh, I'm sorry, before you talk about the coach, Kalia Copper, who played early on, but she sustained an injury and she just couldn't go the rest of the way. But she was there for moral support throughout. And it would have been nice to have her down the stretch and into the playoffs there because you have another dog out there. But that wasn't to be. But still, she gets a piece of the pie as well, and she is also a champion in the Unrivaled League. And then Coach Nola Henry, you got to give props to her. You know, she kind of in battle early on because the team got off to a slow start. But she was able to right the ship. She was able to make the best of the lineup because you had players shuffle in and out. Of course, you lost Kalia Copper for the bulk of the season. And there was a period where you didn't have Azaree Stevens as well. But Nola Henry stuck with her plan, stuck with the program, and she pulled this team and molded this team into a champion. So big props to Nola Henry. And oh, by the way, as a side note, in your championship game, you had two women coaching, Nola Henry for the Rose, and then Teaspoon, of course, Teresa Weatherspoon for the Vinyl Ball Club. I thought Teresa Weatherspoon, given what she had to deal with, she didn't have Erika Gumbawale for a good chunk of the season. And also, she had injuries that she had to deal with her squad. But she kept them focused, kept them interested, and it paid off. And they pulled off the ultimate upset in the semifinals by beating the Lunar Owls. Mind you, that was the Vinyl had beat every ball club except the Lunar Owls, and they end up beating them when it counted. So big props to Teaspoon and that squad over there. Now, as far as the awards and all those things, they first named their all unrivaled teams, first team and second team. First team, of course, the Feature Collier. That's no surprise to anyone. Also, Chelsea Gray for the Rose. No surprise there. And then Kayla McBride for the Laces, who played well all in all. So that's your first team, and then second team, Skylar Diggins-Smith for the Lunar Owls, Ryan Howard of the Vinyl, and then Angel Reese for the Rose. There's a couple of players you could have made a case for. You could have made a case for Alyssa Gray for the Lunar Owls. She played very well. She's part of that solid starting lineup between her, Diggins-Smith, and Nafisha Collier. So you could have made a case for her. Erica Hamby, you could have made a case for her also for the Vinyl. How she was rock solid all throughout the season. So that's your cases as far as that goes. Your coach of the year, obvious. DJ Sackman of the Lunar Owls for having them with a 13-1 record, so you got to give him major props. I thought Nola Henry, you could have made a case for her, but you know, how can you deny a coach who coaches their team and they only end up with one loss on the season? So there's that. Defensive player of the year, I had mentioned Angel Reese. She ended up getting it. She was an absolute terror inside for opponents. There was some times where she even held Nafisha Collier down. That's how good she was in the paint. So big props to her. And then, of course, league MVP goes to Nafisha Collier. How can you not give it to her? She absolutely dominated. If it wasn't the one-on-one, it was the three-on-three where she was an absolute scoring machine. And the top player on the top team in the Unrivaled League. So, with that said, we put that to bed. So, again, a successful season for the Unrivaled League. So big props to them. I look forward to seeing them continue next season and beyond. So big props to them, big time. So with that said, let us continue. There was the WNBA news I wanted to give. Guys, the New York Liberty, they had seemed like they were laying in the weeds. Everybody was making free agency moves. They weren't doing much of anything. And then, boom, they end up trading. In fact, they make a trade with the Connecticut Sun, and they get Natasha Howard, guys, of the Phoenix Sun. Well, not the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Mercury, but Phoenix Mercury ends up trading her to the Connecticut Sun. She doesn't even get to see a game as a Sun, so she gets traded to the Liberty in exchange for the Liberty's 2025 first-round pick, 7th overall. So you trade that pick along with a 2026 pick also. So New York Liberty, I tell you what, they add a absolute dog to their lineup. They needed somebody because they lost Courtney Vandersloot. She ends up going back to Chicago. So for all intents and purposes, you would have probably had, well, and see, that's the option that Sandy Brondello has now. Do you start both Natasha Cloud along with Sabrina Ionescu in your backcourt, and then in your front court, Breonna Stewart, for all intents and purposes, she's returning, guys. Also, you have Jonquel Jones. And now the question now is between Banaji Laney Hamilton and Leone Feebish. Which one of those will end up starting? I'm of the mindset, because Banaji, Queen B, she's had her health issues. Even in the Unrivaled, she came in for a spell, but she ended up getting hurt. So I think going into the season for the W, I think you got to make room for Leone Feebish. That's how good she is, guys. That's how good she is. And, you know, Banaji Laney, she's not getting any younger. So maybe you bring her off the bench to bolster that second unit. So that's why I would go with that. But, you know, I'm not the coach, so we'll see what happens. But they're pretty deep, guys. They still have the young sensation, Maquisha Davis. You still have her. Jacqueline Sherrod, you have her also, who I think will be the heir apparent as far as the point guard position goes. I think it'll be a benefit for her having a Natasha Howard there to kind of learn the position. So you have that. Also, remember, guys, that last season they added Rebecca Gardner, who had the torn ACL, so she really couldn't play this season. You get to see her in her full form. Also, they brought in Isabel Harrison, who, oh, by the way, her and Natasha Howard has a thing going on. So there's that. And then, of course, Niara Sabali, of course, the hero in that fifth and final game in the playoffs, in the finals, in fact, versus the Minnesota Lynx. So they're a deep team, guys. And then also, too, they're talking about bringing back Marie Johannes. So you bring her back, you're deep. So Liberty trying to defend that championship. So we'll see what happens. But here's what I will say. I hope Breonna Stewart goes and gets her some rest. I think she's absolutely spent. So I think the rest between now and the season to come, I think will do her a world of good. Because I think she was kind of burnt out coming into that unrivaled league. I'm just saying. So there's that. But there's plenty of firepower with the Liberty. So there you go. All right. So that's the WNBA news I wanted to bring up. Now let's talk tournament, guys. And we'll start with the men. So it's going to be the road to San Antonio, guys, where the Final Four will be held in that Alamo Dome. So here's how it shook out, guys. You have your top four seeds, the number one seeds, Duke, University of Houston, University of Florida, and then Auburn as well. So let's look at the Duke region. Now, guys, I'm just going to look at the top four teams. I'm sure there'll be upsets underneath that, perhaps. But right now, I'm just going to laser focus on the top four teams. So you have Duke as the number one overall. Of course, you have Cooper Flagg, the freshman phenom. Also, you have Con Canoobal, another freshman as well, guys. And then Tyrese Proctor, a junior for the Dukies. So Duke, and then, of course, you got to be cautious with Cooper Flagg's health. And because you got to be leery about that. So we see what happens. But that's your Duke squad there. And then the second seed within that East region, Alabama, who have Mark Sears. So you have him there. Oh, by the way, both Cooper Flagg and Sears, your first team All-Americans. And Sears is a senior, by the way, point guard for them. Then you have Grant Nelson there. He's a senior as well, guys, your power forward. And then Aiden Holloway, the sophomore there for the University of Alabama. Your third seed, Wisconsin, where you got a guy like John Tongji, and then also John Blackwell. So you got the two Johns there. Tongji's a senior, and Blackwell is a sophomore shooting guard for them. And then you have the University of Arizona as the fourth seed in that same region with Khalid Love, their guard. He's a senior. And then also Jayden Bradley, their junior. So that's the University of Arizona, the couple of guys from that squad. Then we move to the Midwest region, where you have University of Houston there, guys. You know, they've been a powerhouse these last few seasons. And of course, you have LJ Cryer there, their guard. He's a senior. And then Emmanuel Sharp, the other guard, who's a junior for that Houston Cougars team. Your second seed is Tennessee. And they have senior Chaz Lanier, a guard over there. And then you have Sakai Ziegler, a point guard, only 5'9", but that's their floor general, guys. And that's for the University of Tennessee. Kentucky, of course, in the mix. And they have Otega Owe and then Jackson Robinson, their senior shooting guard. And then at center, you have Amari Williams. And he's a senior also, guys. And that's the third seed in that Midwest region. And then Purdue, you have Trey Kaufman Wren, your forward. He's a junior. Also, Braden Smith, who was first team All-American, guys. He's the point guard there. He runs the show, and he's a junior. And then Fletcher Lawyer, and he's a junior, guys. He's a shooting guard for the Purdue Boilermakers. So that is your Midwest region. Let us turn our attention to the South. In the South, you have Auburn leading the way there, the number one seed. And they have their fifth-year senior, Johnny Broom, who, oh, by the way, he is a first-team All-American also. And also on that club, Chad Baker Mazzara. And he's a senior. He's your swing guy, whether it be guard or forward, for the Auburn Tigers. Your second seed, Michigan State. And there you have the senior, Jaden Atkins. And then Jace Richardson, your freshman for that ball club there. Your third seed, Iowa State, who has their senior shooting guard, Curtis Jones, along with your senior point guard, Keyshawn Gilbert, and then power forward, Joshua Jefferson, who's only a junior. And then your fourth seed in that South region, Texas A&M, led by Wade Taylor IV, your floor general, who's a senior, and then also in that backcourt, Zurich Phelps, another senior for that team. And then in the West, you have the Florida Gators as the number one seed there. They have Walter Clayton Jr., who, oh, by the way, he is your fifth All-American first teamer. Along with Clayton Jr., Elijah Martin, senior guard for them. Also, Will Richardson, another senior guard as well. I think this is the tough, really tough region, guys. Your second seed, St. John's, guys. St. John's has emerged as a power once again under the tutelage of Rick Pitino. I'll say a little something about that in a minute. But they're led by R.J. Lewis Jr., who is a junior, by the way, swing man for that team. Zubi Ajiofor, and he's a junior power forward for them. And Kadari Richmond, their senior point guard for the St. John's ball club there. Your third seed, Texas Tech. And they're led by J.T. Toppin, guys. Power forward, who's a sophomore. Along with him, you have Darian Williams, small forward, who's a junior. And then Chance McMillan, your shooting guard, who is a senior. And then finally, Maryland, who is led by Derek Queen, a big man for them, freshman also, by the way, Jacoby Gillespie, and he's their point guard. He's a junior. And then Rodney Rice, the shooting guard, who is a sophomore. And then Julian Reese, the 6'9 senior, who, oh, by the way, you might know who his sister is. That is Angel Reese, guys. And then add to the mix this 8 seed, the defending champs, the UConn Huskies, who are led by sophomore Solo Ball. He's a guard for them. Liam McNeely, a freshman phenom for that ball club. And then Aaron Carabon. And that's a junior. He's 6'8". All right. So that is a look at the men's. Right now, I think the West is the tougher region. You got all these powerhouse ball clubs over there. And, of course, you got the defending champion within that region. So, sure to be upsets, of course. You know, that goes without saying, but we'll see what happens. All right, and then we'll talk about before I do that, Rick Pitino, back in the national spotlight with the second-ranked, the number two seed in the West region for St. John's. Now, I just saw a clip of the Odd Couple, of course, Rob Parker and Kelvin Washington. And then, of course, Rob Parker says he can't, although he's from New York, he's from Queens, he can't root for Rick Pitino because of the scandal that happened in Louisville where that kind of got him ran out of there, by the way, from everything, the prostitutes and all kind of other nonsense happening over there. So Rob Parker says he can't root for St. John's. Here's what I'll say. If what he did was so egregious, which it sounded like it was, why did NCAA allow him to come back and be a coach again? Mind you, he took kind of a scenic route. He went to Iona as this comeback to coaching, and then from there he went to St. John's. So, I don't know what to tell you with that, but if the NCAA didn't see anything wrong with it, who are we to judge? So if it was that bad, they would have banned him for life, you would think. So there you go. So there's that. All right, so let's talk about the women right quick. And their role leads to Tampa, Florida, guys, where they will play in the Amalie Arena for the Final Four and then the championship game. And then here's how it shook out, guys. Your number one overall seed was UCLA, followed by South Carolina. And then third was Texas, followed by USC, the fourth number one seed. And Dawn Staley had a lot to say about how her team was shut out as far as that goes. I did want to try and find the sound, if I could, of what she had to say in that regard. Dawn Staley, because she was not thrilled. She thought they should have been the number one seed overall. Yeah, she was not thrilled, none whatsoever. Let's see if I can find it. Let's see. Give me 1 second. Yeah, because a lot of people are saying that she was snubbed. Maybe this is the sound. All right, guys. This might be the sound. Let's check and see.
Again, I just hope the committee doesn't discount, you know, our entire resume. There isn't anybody in the country that has played the schedule that we've played. That's won this, that had a share of the regular season and then winning the tournament. You know, having beat the number one team in the country, I think Oklahoma's 12, we're in 12, right? I don't know, they're top team in the country. You know, and Vandy is a tournament team. Like, there's no one in it. So, I'm shocked that we were the number two seed. I was very shocked. If beating us gives the people who beat us so much credit, like you get so much credit for beating us, and yet when we've had some of the toughest stretches in the country and we came out of it unscathed, you know, you can't discount that. Like you can't discredit that. And I'm going to speak out about it because I have to. Because you got to hear the voice of the other side. Because if you don't think our body of work deserves it, then somebody needs to speak out on it. And if it's not us, if it's not our conference, if it's not whoever, you know, I'm going to go down fighting for what our team earned.
Okay. So that was the sound from Dawn Staley. Not happy about being the number two seed as opposed to the number one seed overall. So, of course, you know, she'll use that as motivation for our ball club, and then we'll see where that goes. So, let's talk about the different regions. Again, I'll just go through the top four teams. I might talk about some other ancillary teams, but you have UCLA, the number one seed overall, and they're led by their big Lauren Betts, a junior. Also, you have Kiki Rice there, also a junior. Gabriel Jaquez, who is the sister of Jaime Jaquez, who's in the NBA right now with the Miami Heat. And then another junior in London Jones. So you got a ball club that's going to have seniors for next year, and they'll be right in the mix yet again. So that's UCLA. And then your two seed in that region there, NC State. And you know they got the dynamic backcourt of Sanaya Rivers and Azia James. So you have that solid backcourt there. Also, you have players like Madison Hayes and then Zoe Brooks also for that NC State team. Then your three seed in that region, LSU. Of course, Kim Mulkey's squad, led by Flaje Johnson, who, from what I'm told, she should be ready for the tournament. Also, Anisha Morrow, who she got hurt late in the season, but supposedly she'll be in there. She'll be ready as well. Michaela Williams, who's really grown up and had, I thought, a solid year. But I think the key for them is going to be Cheyenne Day Wilson, their point guard. I think what she does for this ball club in this tournament, I think will be the key to them going a long way, making a run. So I definitely put the onus on her, who is a senior, by the way. So there you have that. And then your fourth seed, Baylor. And Baylor on their squad, they have Aradette Vonley, their senior, who had a fantastic year. And then also you have a player like Dariana Little Page Bugs. They're double-double queens. So Baylor, your fourth seed. Also within that region, you have Ole Miss, who's always going to be a tough out. You got Coach Yo over there. And they have their seniors, Kennedy Todd Williams and Madison Scott. So they're going to make it tough on whoever's in front of them. So should be intriguing. And then your second region, which, of course, headed by the University of South Carolina. And on that squad, they're led by their freshman, Joyce Edwards. Also, you have coming off that bench, Malaysia Fulwale. And I'm of the mindset I'm looking forward to where she's fully unleashed, guys. She's still coming off the bench for them. But I tell you what, next year, she should be a starter. And, wow, I think she's going to dazzle and fascinate everybody. That's how good she is. Also on this club, Chloe Kitts, their junior, kind of a do-it-all player, jack-of-all-trades. Tahina Pau-Pau, their senior. So this is her last hurrah. And then Tessa Johnson, who came up big, of course, in that finals last year. That's the sophomore. Then your second seed is Duke. Duke, who had a fantastic year, guys. Hats off to Coach Kara Lawson. She does an amazing job with those Lady Blue Devils over there. They're led by their freshman, Toby Fournier, and then junior Ashlyn Johnson also. And then your number three seed, University of North Carolina, who has both their seniors going there, Alyssa Utsby, and then their senior Maria Goldberg. Oh, I can't even read my own handwriting. Oh, Gotten. So that's your senior as far as the University of North Carolina. And then also you have their your fourth seed, Maryland. And they are led by Kayleen Smickle, that's their junior, and Cheyenne Sellers, who's a senior. And then in the third region, guys, your region number three, Texas number one team over there, led by Madison Booker, their sophomore, Taylor Jones, who is a senior, and then Rory Harmon, also a senior for that ball club there. The number two seed, TCU, guys, who's led by Haley Van Lith, who's been one of the great reclamation projects in the college women's game, doing her thing over there for TCU. Also, Sedona Prince, another senior, and then Madison Connor, yet another senior. So TCU has a nice, you know, experienced ball club there. And then your number three seed, that's Notre Dame, led by their fantastic backcourt, Hannah Hidalgo, your sophomore, and then Olivia Miles, who's many saying she's going to be a top five pick in the WNBA draft. And that's your senior there. And then also Sonia Citrone, another senior for that ball club, guys. So Coach Ivy, she's got a team locked and ready. And then your fourth seed will be Iowa State. Now, Iowa State, led by Cody McMahon, their junior, along with Jelani Cambridge, who's a freshman, and Chance Gray, a junior. And then look out, guys, because although they're kind of in the play-in game, I think Iowa State could be dangerous. And they're led by Audie Crooks, who's a sophomore. She is a beast when it comes to her game. She can post you up inside and score in bunches. And then Addie Brown, also on that ball club, another sophomore. I think that's a club you'll hear about them for the next couple of years. That's how good I think they'll be. And that's in that third region. So third region could look like it's going to be a tough one. And then USC, I think they're in maybe what is the toughest conference. Because right now you have USC, of course, led by Juju Watkins, your sophomore, Kiki Arafin, your senior, and then Rhea Marshall, also a senior, your center as well. Also, guys, look out for teams like, oh, and I forgot to mention. The UConn Huskies, led by Paige Beckers, your senior, along with Asia Fudd, the number senior, and then Sarah Strong, your freshman, who's playing very well. And we know that that is Allison Feaster's daughter, Allison Feaster, who played in the W. So the strong genes are there, guys. Your number three seed, the University of Oklahoma, led by Reagan Beers, a junior, and then Peyton Verhulst, and she is a senior, guys. And then rounding that out, you have Kentucky as the fourth seed. And then, of course, Kenny Brooks is their coach over there. And his top player, a player he knows very well, Georgia Amore, a senior. And then also you have Strack, a sophomore there. And then a number six seed that could be dangerous in that region as well, Iowa, who are led by Lucy Olsen, who's a senior, and then Hannah Stolke. Of course, we know how well she played when she played there with Caitlin Clark. And she is a junior, guys. So there you go. But I think it's going to be a tough one, and one I'll be definitely glued to. I'll be watching the men some as well, but the women, I'd definitely be keeping an eye on that to see what goes down. I think one of these number one seeds will be vulnerable. Maybe even in that first week, we'll see. So we'll see what happens. But I think both But these tournaments are going to be very exciting. So I look forward to seeing what happens with those. All right, guys. So that is it for me. I thank you for listening. All things basketball with GD.com is the website. Of course, you can go there, find the episodes and all the things there. YouTube, I'm on there as well. All podcast platforms, also, I'm there. Apple, like the videos, wherever you see them. YouTube, all over the place. Socials, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky, kind of fan base, kind of Facebook, no X or Twitter or none of that. All right, guys, I thank you for listening. No NBA this week as far as this episode, but I do plan to do an NBA one where we recap week 21. Hope to get to that very soon. All right, guys, thank you for listening. As always, your listenership is so important. My support buttons on the website, on my donate page, you find it there. And then my Cash App, that's always in the scrolls. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon. Take care.